Self-Evident is a podcast that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hail and well met. Welcome to another episode of Self-Evident. My name is Jenna, and no, I'm not going to sound like this for the entire episode. I'm just recovering from laryngitis right now, but I'm going to muscle through here and get you guys the introduction you all deserve because this is the final part of our two-part book review on Ali Beth Stuckey's Toxic Empathy. In part one, Rebecca Leland, Emily Cecil, and myself, we discussed what empathy is, what chapter in the book impacted us the most, and we started talking about why we think Ali wrote the book. Now, in part two, I start us off with why I believe Ali Beth Stuckey wrote Toxic Empathy, and we end with why it's so important to discuss these tough issues in the book with our social circles. I hope you enjoy.
I call her a lighthouse because, no, she's not intentionally making friends with the world, but she's drawing the people who are attracted to the light to her.
Yes. Because she is seeing people's lives change.
Yes.
And she's faithful.
And she even says in the introduction where she's like, of course, there's been so many days where I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm doing this. Why am I speaking out about this? This is ridiculous. But then she gets those messages of like an ultrasound picture or a little baby and the message that goes along with it saying, you changed our minds on abortion. Thank you. That outweighs all of the flack you will ever get because you are saving little God images. Like, even with things like transgenderism, you are saving someone who is made in the image of God by planting a seed in their heart. Because it's not Ali who's doing the changing.
Right.
Christ is.
Amen.
But she is being a vessel for him to change them.
Amen. And I love one of her go-to taglines. I don't know if it's been recently, because I've noticed it recently. It's just do the next best thing.
Next right thing,
the
yes.
Next right thing. And I think that, like, dovetails or fishtails or piggy tails. watch the last episode if you don't know what that means.
For context, listen to Self-Evident.
But I think it just like goes so perfectly into kind of what we were saying, where it's like right now my favorite verse. I've just been on it. I've said, Luke.
Continue.
Okay. So it says, he who is faithful
yes.
in the very little will be faithful in much. But he who is dishonest in the very little will be dishonest in much. And I think that so encompasses just the whole entire conversation. Because like when you were talking, it is so hard. Like in the pit of my stomach, I started feeling anxious when you just think about talking to someone in your family who's transgender. Or going and honestly having these conversations with these pastors, these Hispanic pastors, and like even just like DMing them, I have this pit in my stomach. It's so scary. But it's like, Rebecca, have you been faithful to even like talk about your views with your friends and your family, like actually like speak it out? Because like recently God's been really convicting me with some of my views, and in such a good way, like refining them even more than they are. And I was like, God, I already thought I was
refined. You're sanctified. You're refined.
Yes. I thought it was perfect. I thought it was glorified enough. He's like, no, there's so much more. And I was like, I don't even know how to talk about this because I'm very bold in the things I know.
Oh, yeah.
But then the things I'm like, wait, there's more. I'm very apprehensive. But God was just like, chat with Emily about it. I was like, oh, okay. And chat with your mom about it. I was like, oh, okay. And just talking to the people, faithful in the very little, talking to the people that are safe, that are like-minded, being able to have those conversations, the more emboldened I am to have the conversations with the people, that it's like really scary. So I think as believers, number one, we're saying read this book because it will start your brain thinking and your heart moving.
You might think you know about these topics. Oh, yeah, I know how to be against immigration. Oh, yeah, I know how to be against. Yeah, like, yeah, it's in the Bible. Yeah, sure. Read this. Yes. It's like a manual.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. 100%. And then talk about it. Like, do what we are doing. Yeah. Very safe space. Very comfy space. Like, friends who know each other. But start even verbally, you know, turning the wheels with the people that you know. Have your friend read it with you, have a conversation.
Because having good community around you to be able to hold you accountable to what you're doing and saying and thinking is so powerful. A great example of this was last month, I was at an event and I sat down at a table with an acquaintance of mine. She's sweet, godly young woman.
We love sweet, and godly young women.
Across the table from us, I didn't know if this was her friend. I didn't know if this was like someone she just met that night.
Invested.
But we just started talking and she started being like, oh, have you ever heard about organization that puts on, I personally call them just like empathy windows, where you would have someone reach out to you and say like, oh, let me tell my story and my experience as, for example, a disabled Black man who is gay. Have people come ask me questions, have them understand my experience and where I've come from and the hardships I've endured, and then they can understand like how to approach me and how to love me and how to accept me. And so this is an organization that's been doing it for a couple years, and they have on anybody, you know, oh, I'm a trans, let me come on and tell my story, and then have people ask like, how can they approach me, how can they like be welcoming and comforting to me. So this woman is telling me like, oh, I love this type of thing, and I listen to Preston Sprinkle and everything. And that's when my wheels started turning, because Self-Evident, if you didn't know, we're on the radio every Friday morning on WPEO with Paul Scott on the Good Word program. Recently, we were talking about Preston Sprinkle, who is a theologian, and he's also a curriculum writer. And he was writing about Book of Genesis for kids. I think the problem was he basically made light of Sodom and Gomorrah to the point where it's like it wasn't even a sin anymore. Like he kind of just glossed over it. Remembering that from my time on radio, I'm thinking like, Preston Sprinkle, doesn't seem like she has like the right mindset about certain things. But I was going to let it fly. I'm like, I don't know this person. Like, you know, I don't know where she's coming from. She's a Christian, but I'm not in the mood to bring things up. I'm not in the mood to like talk about the truth. And so I just responded with like, oh, that's an interesting hobby to have. I'm sure that's very fascinating for you. But my acquaintance next to me, she's just like, but why would you do that? And I'm like, you just said that. And
I didn't sign up for this.
And this woman, she blinks and she's just like, well, because I want to be able to like love these people where they're at. As soon as my friend opened the door, I was just like, okay, God, you want me to speak? Let's go. And it was such a good, fruitful conversation where when I left, the lady was there. Of course, she would defend her actions and she'd be like, no, God wants us to be loving to everyone. I'm like, but loving in what way? In the way that the world is saying that, or in the way that the Bible is saying that? Because scripture says how we need to approach these people. So are you telling them, or are you just approaching them in the way that the world calls love?
Amen.
And so having her take it in, I'm just like, well, I guess peace out. I mean, I did my work. But it was so convicting to me, because I'm like, no, I'm going to coast. I'm going to let it slide. I'm not on right now. It's not my job. But having a Christian sister next to me, just be like, but why?
Yes. Oh, we
it's
need each
so
other.
It's so important to have good community around you.
Amen. Yeah. And you don't have to be that solo ship. Like, she didn't have to carry the whole conversation herself. You didn't have to. And sometimes, especially like if you have all the information, you just need that sister to be like, I'm here with you. Let's go.
Yeah.
And like, and that's why Christian community is so important, and how isolation is so deadly.
Yeah.
Because again, taking thoughts captive, and like you weren't able on your own to take that thought captive, but God provided a sister that took that thought captive for you. And she said, no, you're not actually going to do that. You know what I mean? And we need that, right?
Yeah.
Because like, or is it the fear of man or the fear of God? And at the end of the day, like the most convicting thing is like, does God want me to do this right now? And like, how often do we just not ask ourselves that?
Because
if we did, we know the answer, so we don't ask ourselves. It's very convenient.
Oh yeah.
But if you would have sat there and said, I'm not on right now, but does God want me to be on right now? The answer would 100% be, he brought me here.
Yep. And I'm here to have this conversation for a reason.
Amen.
And I think this would be a great segue into, just as this woman was talking, and she was saying certain things that was putting up my little red flags, being like, okay, we're not on the same side as I thought we would be. And so Ali Bethstucky, in this book, she actually lays out a few different red flags that you can look for in order to identify toxic empathy. The best way to identify it is to read the book and be able to be reading your Bible and equip yourself, guys. It's here for a reason. But one of the things that she says is that euphemisms are a huge red flag, because basically saying, you know, love is love. Oh, that's such a sweet euphemism, because love is, what does that mean?
Like, you can't define yourself.
It's
with
just
the
like a circle.
Words.
It's, yes. It's, what are you doing? You're in a you're a hamster wheel. Like this is not going anywhere.
You are a hamster
in a wheel.
Love, like it's goofy.
When someone approaches you like that and they're just like, well, we just need to be able to love someone, or trans men are men. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
You know, just by saying something does not make it true. Another one is what you were saying earlier about like everything is for a financial gain.
Yeah.
Is what is the end of this campaign or topic or conversation that I'm having right now? Is it exclusively political? Because there's a lot of people that tout, you know, illegal immigration. Remember AOC back a couple years ago was crying at the border, and it turns out that was a whole photo op, that nothing was actually happening there. Does that have exclusively political ends, this empathy that is being brought out into the light and being plastered all over social media? What about when they're saying Christian words, but they don't have the Christian meaning, the Christian context behind them? That is another an issue for me, because specifically with immigration. I was thinking to myself, yeah, we are called to love our brothers, but it's so messy. I was very black and white, and I was just like, no, is there a border? Okay, are you across it? Okay, then you're crime.
Facts
you're
are facts. I yeah, can't you're a fight criminal. You.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like that's what the book says. I mean, I'm sorry, I didn't read it, yeah. But. Having conversations recently with some dear, dear friends of mine where they would bring up these very empathetic stories where it's just like,
true stories.
Do you really right. want all of these children to suffer from it? I have a friend that she came from the Republic of Congo. I'm trying to get her on the podcast. Don't worry. I'm really trying.
Everyone comment below.
Yes. We need my friend to get on this podcast.
Say, but get friend on podcast.
Yes. We'll know what you mean. If like all five people watching.
You're cutting that out because we're at least going to have 10.
But she came from the Republic of Congo. She lived in all of these different countries as a refugee, and she came here to America as a refugee. She was separated from her family across the border because they couldn't identify her aunt as being her aunt. So, like, but she also has the viewpoint of, no, I understand that I'm coming to your country. I need to abide by your rules.
Yep. I love how that's all we can do. We can.
It's yeah. messy. It is messy, yeah. But black and white at the end of the day, like, yes, are you breaking a rule? Well, then, yes, I feel with you. Mm-hmm. I empathize mm-hmm. with you. I will try to help you, but in a way mm-hmm. that does not break the law.
And that yeah. it goes back to the justice before grace. Mm-hmm. And like my sister works at O'Hare, and a lot of immigrants work with her. And time and time again, they're like, oh, no, we're so against all of everything that's going on, like because they did it right. And so anyone who mm-hmm. does abide by the law, they're seeking justice because they're like, look, like I did it the right way. And it is hard, but it's
yes.
worth it. And the world says, you know what? They messed up, but grace. And again, God says, you messed up. I have made a way that's called justice. And like the United States has a way. We have so yes. many people daily becoming United
American
States citizens.
Yes.
And you know, there's a conversation. Could we have reform? Sure. Let's have a conversation about it. But first and foremost, you have to have justice, because true justice, not social justice, social justice turns to the grace and disregards absolutely everyone else that is in the path of destruction because the rules have been broken. And like we just, it's so heartbreaking when you see the truth and then you see the women being raped by people right. who like professing like yeah. horrible people. Who have been allowed to be in our country. And you just like, you want to bring that. And sometimes you want to have that conversation where you're like, but what about this? And it's like, no, settle down. You know what I mean? There's so much truth. It's so hard.
Like there are so many different sides of the story that you need to look at before just jumping on and getting your heartstrings involved and believing a toxic empathy lie.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes me think too about like, I think we talked the other day about like parents and how they have to discipline their children. And it's not exactly analogous, but like, yeah, the whole idea of justice before grace and justice and grace, the one like leads to so many other destructive things, because like you said, like there's rape, there's people who just take advantage of a broken system. And then so many families are hurt and people lose their money, their livelihood. Like there's just so many other doors that open that lead to destruction.
And she points out in the book so many times that yeah. a lot of these agendas are hurting specifically children.
Yes, yes.
Why are we not protecting right. them? You are going right. to give into the whims of adults mm-hmm. and harm these little ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where Jesus said, if you harm these little ones, it would be yes. better for a millstone to be hung around ooh. Your neck and you thrown into the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, we can't argue with that.
We've got everything Jesus. Like just topsy-turvy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think the caveat to the book is that like both Emily and I, so like I finished the book before her because I listened to it like 2x speed and
yes,
I was just like eating it up.
That.
And I will say I was, and it was so interesting, I don't think I want to use the word depressed, but I had like huge circles under my eyes. And even like Reba, woman I know, she was like, what is wrong? Like, what's going on with you? And I was like, I really don't know. I literally had no idea. And Emily and I, she finally finished the book and not finally, but you finished it. And we're talking, she goes, you know, this book is like really messing with me. Like I'm feeling such a weight. And I'm like, that's what's wrong with me. It's this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's because it brought the weight of the evil of the world to light in such a clearly defined way that you cannot turn away from it. You cannot deny anything. And then you feel this like, oh, I'm living in such a sinful world. And living in the United States of America, it's like we are so numb to it. So it is such a wake-up call. I think I expected it to kind of be bashing the other side, but instead it was convicting to my heart. And it was saying, I want you to empathize with the other side. And I totally did. And I'm like, oh my gosh, they need Jesus. Like, that's actually all they need. Like, like the answer to every single one of these issues is if they had Christ in them and the Holy Spirit convicting them and clear biblical teaching. And so I would caveat it with, like, I 100% think, I think every single person should read this book or audiobook and listen to this book. Know that your week is going to be changed dramatically for the worse, and your life will be dramatically changed for the better. But you are going to go through a time where you actually wake up to the fact that we are living in such a sinful world, and we have been lulled into it. But it was so impactful to me, and I have never felt so on fire for God and on fire for truth, and felt like I had a tool that gave me a backing to walk into conversations and to be more vocal.
You're equipped.
Yes, 100%. So what would you say? What's like a 30-second read the book or takeaway or encouragement to someone, or maybe a caveat? Like, hey.
I had like almost exactly the same experience where I just feel so much more burdened for people. But that's like the beauty of this book is it generated in me more empathy, like more more drive to want to tell the truth. As scary as that is, I think that is, exactly what this book did for me. It just awakened me. These issues are a big deal, and like I need to take them seriously, because she lays out, the destruction, but also what I love so much about this book, and we've all alluded to this and said so clearly, like reading God's word is what's going to change everything. And so I love that she, on her podcast, in this book, like she stays true to the word of God and incorporates that in every chapter. Yeah, she references time and again so much scripture, and that was so encouraging to me too, because I was like, she's not just standing on a soapbox to stand on a soapbox. Like she wants to equip her readers to know what's true.
If you're a Christian who struggles with, well, number one, people pleasing, but number two, not being able to understand, oh no, what did I do?
We're people pleasers.
Well, me too.
We're all three people pleasers. Look, is there hope, Jenna?
Recovering people pleasers.
Is that going to be our t-shirt? Is that going to be some merch?
Oh yeah.
Comment down below if you want self-evident merch, because I know I do, and say what kind of phrases you want. So obviously piggytailing will be one.
Oh yeah, but totally.
Recovering people pleaser is actually phenomenal.
What this book does, it equips you to have the knowledge of, I actually don't have to please people. My job is to please God. That's like the forefront of the book. As a Christian, you need to have your priority to be pleasing Christ instead of your fellow man. This is what I got from the book. When I'm approached with these types of conversations and I have to address someone who, for example, is telling me like, I just need to be empathetic to my fellow neighbors who have experienced racism, and I just need to kowtow to their every whim and wish, and I just need to love them. Beforehand, I was not equipped to effectively argue against them. I knew it was wrong, couldn't tell you why. So this book is such a great chapter by chapter manual of being able to equip the saints to be able to speak the truth and always be ready to give an answer. That's why you need to back it up with scripture. Go read your Bible first and foremost and get toxic empathy. Rebecca, why do you want people to read the book?
I want people to read the book because I want you to be wrecked. I want you to have a bad week. I want you to come out of the shadow. And I would have said I was someone who was on fire for God, but now I'm on fire for God and what he calls me to do. And those are two different things. You can love God just in word, and then you can love God in deed. And I think I'm really grateful for the horrible week that I had, because it kind of woke me up. So I definitely would encourage anyone to read Toxic Empathy.
Short-term despair, long-term encouragement.
Amen. Thank you so much for listening to Self-Evident. Emily, thank you so much for coming on.
Such a joy to have you.
It was so fun.
How was your first podcast?
Oh, 10 out of 10, maybe 11 out of 10. I would do it again with you guys.
Yes.
They make me feel very at home.
I'm glad to hear that. I mean, she should. She's your roommate.
You make me feel at home.
It's mutual.
And thank you, Jenna, for having me on as a guest host.
It is such a blessing and a delight to do life with you. And I just love when we're able to just sit here and have conversations and record them for posterity.
It's a blessing. Thank you for listening. Until next time,
let us firmly rely
on the protection of divine providence.
This is Self-Evident.
We did it!
Oh, man. Can you imagine?
Grace is just like, oh my God.